The song Body and Soul has been recorded more than 3,000 times. Originally a pop song by Jewish composer Johnny Green, it's now one of the most performed of all jazz standards. Filmmaker Robert Phillipson has dug deeper into the song. His documentary, Body and Soul, An American Bridge, examines the complicated relationship between Jewish and African-American culture by way of music. Robert's here in studio to talk with us about the film and the music. Welcome.
Thank you very much, Lois. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, great to have you here. A lot of your work dives into intersectional identities, Black and queer and Jewish. Why did you want to focus on this topic for Body and Soul?
My previous film work has explored the intersection of race and sexuality mostly through an examination of Black, queer, Jewish identity. I myself am a Jewish queer, but I came to my gay identity late in life. By the time I accepted it, I was already in graduate school studying African American literature. I have a degree in comparative literature. And I was struck by the parallels. I was in identity construction, how identity is learned, where it's learned from, who models it, how is it picked up both consciously and unconsciously. I'd had that personal experience as a Jew, and I was having to learn it as a gay man. And I was seeing how it was written about and thought about and performed in the African-American community. So I was very much struck by these parallels. It took me a little while to when I published an academic book called The Identity Question, Blacks and Jews in America and Europe, which compares autobiographies written by Blacks and Jews. And I was looking at parallels and differences between the two identities and the experiences they had in the West. When I came to do this film, it was an extension of all this kind of thinking, both personal and intellectual, that I had gone through.
But at the end of the day, looking back at the prolific performers and composers of the time, there must be a link that made you want to focus on the song Body and Soul. Why this song?
I love music, and I love jazz, and I love the Great American Songbook, what's come to be called the Great American Songbook. And for whatever reason, about 80% of the Great American Songbook is written by American Jews. With the exception of Cole Porter, all of the great names, Richard Rodgers, Stephen Sondheim, Jerome Kern, George Gershwin,
Irving Berlin, Harold Arlen.
Thank you.
Who many people thought was Black.
Correct. Correct. Who actually wrote music for the Cotton Club shows in the early part of his career. And of course, Somewhere with a Rainbow. So I knew that any song that I took by any of these composers that had a jazz pedigree would bring about an interesting set of stories about Black and Jewish interrelations in American popular song. The reason that I chose Body and Soul is when I was doing my research, this turned out to be the number one song in terms of covers and very, very highly thought of in the jazz world. Because of its Coleman Hawkins recording in 1949, it became the sort of gold standard for what jazz improvisation was about at that time. And it was mostly famous in jazz circles for that reason. But there was a whole decade beforehand, 20 years, in which the song had a very interesting history, which brought about all of the complex interrelations between Blacks and Jews. So when I started researching and I thought, this is a story that needs to be told.
and this is what you tell in the film. Body and Soul originally was a torch song. Would you tell us what that means and why it's important?
A torch song is a song about a woman who loves a bad man. And he treats her badly and doesn't appreciate her love, but she loves him anyway. And the torch song is sort of her song of heartbreak about this situation. It's clearly a song that comes out of the blues tradition and continues into the present. during the early 30s, when Body and Soul was being composed and having its first run of public performances, the torch song was particularly popular in a whole genre. There were famous torch song singers such as Ruth Etting, Anne Henshaw. I may have the first name wrong. And
was Helen Miller from?
Thank
that?
You, Helen Morgan. Yes,
Helen
yes,
Morgan.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
Together we got it.
Yes, right. So when the song was introduced on Broadway. It actually had been performed, introduced as a pop classic. And the first, because it was considered to be risque for the early 30s, it was first published, performed and published in England, where Gertrude Lawrence had introduced it. And when you listen to the early recordings, it's a very bouncy foxtrot 4/4 kind of tune. It was Libby Holman who reinterpreted on Broadway as a torch song, and then of course it really took off as a torch song because it was very amenable to that kind of treatment.
Libby Holman was Jewish, but some people thought of her as more a black performer, as with the composer Harold Arlen. Would you describe her and the other Jewish female performers you highlight in the film?
Libby Holman was, she's fallen into obscurity, of course, but she was quite famous in her day as a performer who, like other Jewish performers such as Sophie Tucker and Fanny Brice, negotiated a fuzzy line between minority identity and black identity. People knew of them as Jewish. Knew of them as Jewish, and because they were Jewish, and Jews in the early and middle part of the 20th century hadn't achieved as a people the upward mobility of upper middle class status, and anti-Semitism was still a strong factor in American culture, their experience was closer to the black experience at that time than it is now. And there was a lot of back and forth, particularly in the entertainment world, between blacks and Jews. And white singers who were singing in the 20s and 30s were very precise in their enunciation and were very, they sang on the beat. They clearly articulated. They didn't do the melisma, which is a feature of black style. But Jewish performers would do that. And so there was, particularly in Libby Holman's case, she was somewhat dark-skinned and actually made her first hit in a show in which she played a mulatto. So there was some confusion, which advanced her show business career, in which she did nothing to clear up, about whether she was black or not.
Mm. If you're just joining us, you're listening to City Lights. My guest is writer and filmmaker Robert Phillipson. His documentary, Body and Soul, An American Bridge, is being screened now as part of the Atlanta Jewish Film Festival. We're going to listen to a little bit of Billie Holiday's version of Body and Soul. After a short break, we'll be back here on WABE.
My days have grown so lonely, for you I cry, for you kneel only, you seen it. I'm all for you, body and soul. I spend my days in longing. You know it's you that I am longing. Oh, I tell you, I'm all for you, body and soul.
We've been listening to a little bit of Billie Holiday from a 1957 version of Body and Soul. That's the topic of a film, a documentary by Robert Phillipson. It's being screened here in Atlanta as part of the Atlanta Jewish Film Festival. Robert, how do you separate exploitation from musical borrowing and evolution? Because this is something you touch upon in the film.
I really can't claim to be an expert on that particular topic. It's a difficult one. And it comes up in a sharpened fashion in the film's discussion of Benny Goodman. Because Benny Goodman clearly borrowed his big band style from what the black jazz bands were doing of the era. In fact, he used a Fletcher Henderson, who was a famous jazz band leader and arranger of the 1920s, as his arranger. Also was clearly familiar with what Count Basie and Duke Ellington were doing. He, of course, became fantastically successful using styles that had been pioneered and continued to be promoted by black bands and black musicians, which isn't to say that he wasn't tremendously creative in that idiom and that he didn't bring his own style to it. I think it depends on your political perspective.
A matter of credit not being given, or royalties not being given where they were due? You spend a good deal of time in the documentary focusing on Louis Armstrong and Benny Goodman. I mean, on the one hand, they embodied this cross-cultural pollination. What came to my mind was something similar with Elvis and Chuck Berry.
Yeah, of course. Elvis Presley is sort of the poster boy for a white musician singing in a black style. Big Mama Thornton's "You Ain't Nothing But a Hound Dog" is the classic example. I don't really know what the finances were of that, whether the writer got any royalties from the tremendous success of that. The songs that Benny Goodman recorded, and he and his band recorded hundreds of songs, were written by both white and black composers. Goodman was sensitive to the racial politics of the time and broke the color barrier in the jazz music world when he performed with a black pianist, Teddy Loyalson, and later Lionel Hampton in a quartet, and that was really a revolutionary step for the age. So he really was, as I say, sensitive to that issue, and probably can be accused of exploitation with more difficulty than other white musicians. But it's obviously an issue in that world.
So, for viewers, the takeaway from the documentary, is this a happy story? Is it a complicated story, but ultimately one we should understand every aspect?
Well, of course, I'm going to devote for a happy and complicated story.
Okay. Well, Robert Phillipson is a documentary filmmaker. His film Body and Soul, An American Bridge, screens at the Atlanta Jewish Film Festival at Terra Theater. That's this evening at 7. Robert will be there for question and answer. It also screens on February 10th at L'Enfant Theater, Sandy Springs. Robert Phillipson, thank you very much.
Thank you, Lois.